So even though there are four Gospels and they all seem very much alike, each one has a separate theme. And in John's Gospel, he talks about that theme at the end of the book in John 20. He said, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that by believing that you may have life in his name. And so what John is doing all throughout this beautiful letter is giving various illustrations and stories demonstrating how Jesus is the Messiah. In John chapter 1, John the Baptist appears in a prominent role. In fact, there were some people who thought John the Baptist was the Messiah. And John the Baptist, John writes very clearly, sees Jesus one day and kind of points to him and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," saying, "This is the one who is the Messiah." And then John pulls together stories that are so unique. In the second chapter, the first recorded miracle of Jesus is changing the water to wine, but it's not just the wine, it's the quality of the wine that he saved the best until last. So there might be some symbolism there saying Moses and the law was good, the prophets were all good, but they were all leading toward the Messiah who was coming. The good wine has now been poured out. And then in chapter 3, you have this religious leader who was very steeped in the law, but really didn't understand what it is to be a follower of the Spirit of God, didn't understand that there even was a Holy Spirit. And Jesus talks to him about being born again and talks about the Holy Spirit testifying even to our own spirit. And then in chapter 4, it's marvelous. In chapter 4, John crafts the story of Jesus meeting a Samaritan woman. And somewhat like today, but much to a larger degree in that first century, it was very much a patriarchal society. Women were owned by their husbands. And what John is crafting here in this beautiful chapter is Jesus coming along and seeing a woman of her own worth and her own value, even though she's lived a very difficult life. And she's also a Samaritan. And the Samaritans and the Jews always had conflict. And so what John is trying to say that Jesus is breaching all of that, welcoming all people. Everyone is included. People who are trapped in sin, people who've always been discarded, people who always felt like they didn't count. Jesus is saying, oh, you count. You are loved by God. And then chapters 5 and 6. I'm just going to go through a couple of these things very quickly. If you have a Bible, you may want to look along with me. Because what John does in John chapter 5 and 6, and just go with me on this, Jesus gives his own testimony. And he testifies to himself that he is the Messiah. We often talk about people who give a testimony. Well, Jesus is the testimony. And he's testifying that I am the one who has come, but he's not doing it in a bragging way. He's saying that he is the fulfillment of everything that was written. So in John 5, in verse 24, which I think is brilliant, Jesus is saying this, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him, God, who sent me, has eternal life and will not be judged. That person has crossed over from death to life." And then skipping down several verses, starting in verse 33, "You have sent John and he testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. But I have testimony weightier than that of John. For the very work that the Father has given me to finish and which I am doing testifies that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. Now listen to this verse. This is powerful. 39. You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. But these are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. And then again, skipping down a few verses, picking it up in verse 45, he says this, but do not think I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses. Wait a minute, their hopes and dreams were based on Moses. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for Moses wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? Which took me way back and said, I've got to read Moses again. And all the way through the Bible, you have all of the prophets, you have the Psalms, and you have Moses and the law, all testifying to the Messiah and the one who would come. Now, I'm going to skip quite a few verses, and I want to pick it up in chapter 6 and looking in verse 33. So in chapter 6 and verse 33, the testimony of Jesus continues. In verse 33 says, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. And Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. So right now in our congregation, we're working through what we sometimes have called the sacraments. Baptism being that special and unique experience that we have in connecting us with Jesus. In our communion, we take the bread, we drink the juice, representing the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. But that's a minute explanation of a sacrament. A sacrament is belonging to Christ and Christ indwelling us. As Paul says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. A sacrament isn't something we do. It's who we are because of Christ. That special and unique relationship that we experience. But when Jesus says this, and John does this uniquely, and I'm going to wrap up, he uses the word grumble. Have you ever been in any place where it should be filled with the love and the grace of God, but instead, you just hear grumbling? Maybe we've grumbled. So here in the presence of Jesus, he's offering himself as God in the flesh, and they grumble. Now, notice this in verse 40. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. I will raise him up at that last day. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I'm the bread of life. In verse 43, Jesus says, stop grumbling among yourselves. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. And then it later goes on to say, if anyone eats of this bread, that person will live forever. The bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And he talks more about that. But then he comes to his disciples. Ah, his blessed disciples who have tremendous faith in him and not so much. Because look in verse 60. On hearing all of this, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. who can accept it? And aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus asks a question, which I think is a great question. Does this offend you? What I said, does this offend you? Would I be taking too much liberty if I'm suggesting that what Jesus is saying is, am I offending you? Well, yes. Verse 66, from that time on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Can you imagine that scene? People who followed Jesus for maybe 3 years, and some of them just said, no. You know, everything was pretty good until now, but no. And then one of the haunting passages in all of the Bible, verse 67. Jesus asks the 12, you don't want to leave too, do you? And then Peter, as the spokesperson, says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Anyway, when I was reading that this past week, I thought, wow, there's so much more to learn, at least for me, about Jesus in this spiritual intimacy that we can all enjoy. So I go back the way I started. Jesus, in John 20, 30 and 31, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that you may have life in his name, that our life in his life are intimately, spiritually connected. Thanks.